September 24, 1979, Long Beach, California. Tell again where you were born.
Now, is this thing on?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I was born in 7th and Redondo, on the second lot east of Redondo, on the south side of 7th. There's a two-story brick building there now. In August 13, 1910, and they tell me that when I was a kid, my favorite playground was the railroad tracks of the Pacific Electric Railway that ran up down the avenue, and there was a grocery or store and a drugstore or whatever where Wagner's Drug is now at 7th Redondo. And the railroad tracks was raised about two and a half feet, and there was a dirt road along each side. I'd go out there and play, and if I wouldn't get off the tracks, they'd stop the car and take me to the drugstore and buy me a piece of candy or something so they could continue with the business of running the railroad. When I was 2 years old, 1912, we moved to 3421 East Anaheim for a wooden California type house that my father built, and we lived there until 1925.
What's a California type house?
Well, it was a wooden 1x12s, and then they had a 1x2 piece, you know, where they come together. You've seen that type of a house. Had a big front porch. I think it was a two-bedroom and a big dining room, living room, kitchen sort of thing. And that was the only house in the block outside of the drugstore that the building that my dad built for a drugstore, and he had his real estate office in it. It was a Dr. Chittenden that came out here for the Middle West. And he was the only doctor in this part of town, which was known as Zaporia. And there was a Long Beach Post Office Station number 2. And the Bixby Ranch was some, 3-4 miles east of us. And Fred Bixby used to ride in on his horse to pick up the mail. And Dr. Chittenden and my dad both had 1910 Model T Fords. And in the wintertime, they had spent most of the time pulling each other out of the mud. The doctor took care of all the help on the Bixby branch and the other branches in the area. And Dad was in the real estate business. And sometimes they would let me ride back on the horse with Fred Bixby if they were going out that way, and then some hours later they'd stop by and pick me up and bring me back.
What was it like at the ranch? Or do you remember?
Well, the road that runs from the ranch house now, which is Palo Verde, that was a real narrow dirt road, and it ran through their ranch property. And up where, quite a ways, what would be the cross street? Be up probably east of where that Broadway Shopping Center is, maybe that far up, there was a one-room school house there. And I don't know whether that was in the Long Beach system or whether it was the county or what, but all the help from the ranches around there, even over as far as Los Alamitos, went to this one-room school. And it was there for years and years, even when I was a teenager, it was still there, because that was a good parking place with your yard at night. And even Bixby had a man that was not a policeman, but a custodian to look at things, and you could see his headlights coming down off the hill, and then you scattered.
How old were you when you got to ride back on Fred
Dixie's
horse?
Well, I must have been somewhere between 5 and 10 years old, I imagine. I was quite young when I, and about that time, Dad built a little building on Redondo, on the east side next to the railroad tracks, the Newport Balboa line, and he moved his real estate office down there. And he raised vegetables and had a corn field between there and Newport, and I know in the summertime I had the whole weeds, which I didn't like. And there was a fellow by the name of Bob Durkee that came along, and he built him a building the same size, and he started a newspaper, and he called it the Palm Beach Progress, I believe it was. And then some years later, there was a couple of fellas came along, and they started the Long Beach Star, and then they bought out Durkee, and it eventually became the Long Beach Star, or the East Long Beach Star Progress.
How does the Zachariah Advertiser fit into that?
I, until I dug in that trunk, I had probably seen that before, but I didn't even know. And this was before the time I'm talking about. What dates was there? A date on?
I can't remember. Yeah, there were dates on it, but I just
don't. It was before.
Oh, before.
But I remember, yes. Now, it must have came and gone, because when Bob Durkee started his print shop there and started putting out this little paper, I, after school, I would feed the presses and do printing for him, and I couldn't even reach the press, and they had to bring me a box. I was so little, so I could get up there and do that, and I'd done that as a kid. And then when I got into junior high and into high school, he moved down to next to Dale Theater on Anaheim, just the other side of Orizaba. And they were in there, he was in there for years and years, and I used to work for him after school and at night, and then on Saturdays and Sundays, and then later when I got up into high school and City College, I used to work for him all the time. That's why I kept myself out of mischief.
Did your dad sell land that other people owned? Or
he subdivided from the railroad tracks north 15th and east of Redondo. Now, how far east, I don't know, but I think down around Miramar, because he sold 5 acres of land where the Boys Market is now to fellow by the name of MacArthur that built MacArthur's Painting Mill, and it was there for years and years and years until way after the Depression, and it finally went broke, and he had lived in a big two-story house up here a couple of blocks on the other side of the street on Redondo. The house is still there. It's been made into a multiple unit, but then when he went broke, the Hammond Lumber Company took it over, and they operated it until the lumber yards, there were a number of lumber yards in this area, and they started moving out as the town expanded, and they sold the property to the Boys Market. They sold that 5 acres for $130,000.
Wouldn't mind buying it for that now, would you?
Built this store, and he owned three of the corners at Anaheim Redondo. He may have owned all four of them at one time. And then he built a building for that mobile station is now at Anaheim Redondo, and there was a drugstore, and next to it was another store building. And then there was another lot there with a two-story brick building. It was the E&H Hardware. And then in the middle of the block, which would be the third lot or the fourth lot from the corner, there was an old wooden building. It was a pool hall. And was operated by a young fellow by the name of Joe Joyce. You've heard of Joe Joyce. And then when he moved there, he moved down to Anaheim Temple,
yes.
And the place is still operating as Joe Joyce. And that's where he started.
Who
took
over the pool hall, do you know?
Well, he had the pool hall. He's got a pool hall down that place down there.
Yeah.
But this was before in during Prohibition.
Oh.
Then after Prohibition, when he moved down there, I think he rented to a fellow and they tried to put in a beer and wine place there, and that didn't go over so good with the neighbors. And then I think a grocery store went in. There was a number of grocery stores in the area. There was one there in the middle of the block. There was one in the block between Redondo and the railroad tracks and Clay's Grocery, which was the first one, and the last one to exist was across the street from the bank at El Obispo and Anaheim.
Yeah. Do you remember something called Wiley's Pool Hall in the 20s?
Well, I think there were other pool halls up and down the street,
okay.
But I don't think it was this one.
Okay, I just heard about that. Did your father subdivide the land? Do you know who he bought it from?
No, I don't. Really. Some of it was acreage. Now, this where we are now. He sold this piece from 14th to 15th from Redondo to Loma as a 5-acre piece to people for dairy. And he sold it for $100 an acre. That was $500 for the piece. And when the dairy quit during the Depression and they really forced him to move out, an attorney, a popular attorney downtown, ended up with it, and he subdivided this 5 acres. And I bought this lot from him in 1930, and I paid a lot more for this lot than he had sold the whole 5 acres for.
Yes,
amazing.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Temple Avenue School, which is now I think called Lee, 17th and Temple. And I went there until to the sixth grade. And I remember the Graham Brothers had a sand pit up on Senior Hill, up by where the first railroad is, right beyond that. And there was a fellow by the name of Stevenson that lived over 17th and Loma. He had 3 sons, and I went to school with one of the sons. The other 2 boys were older than that one. And the older one worked with his dad, and they used to haul sand in it with a team of horses down there and deliver it around town. And a lot of times, they would, from lunch period, would be out, they would be going up the hill, and then the young Stevenson and I would go out and jump on the wagon, ride up the sand pit, they'd load him and come back down, and we'd get off and then get back to school. And the up above there, what is not the City Coast Highway, was called State Street. And that was a dirt road, and I can remember they had these big old steamrollers with the great big wheel wheels and the little We had maybe one wheel in front and two wheels in back, and when they started to make a street out of State Street and put some power down, or it wasn't pavement, but to widen the street, they had a big rain, and I guess they built some ditches through there, and the next morning the steamroller was down in the ditch, and it took them a week to dig it out, and half the steamroller was down in a hole. And Septum Street, I think, was oil, but State Street was still a good street.
And were there houses on Signal
Hill? There were a few. There was mostly on Temple up above what is now Pacific Coast Highway. A lot of that was acreage, and there were Mexican and Japanese gardeners had trip farms up there. They raised blackberries and strawberries and then the vegetables. And from Anaheim Street, from down where Terminal is, in the wintertime, that would flood. And there were a number of Japanese that raised blackberries, and they had them, you know, they had the post and the wires for them to raise the pond. In the wintertime, that would flood. There was no drainage, and the water would cover the whole damn thing. That would be just a big lake down there, and you couldn't get through at all. You went up the hill and around.
Did they raise anything on Signal Hill except berries?
I think they raised vegetables, because the Long Beach City had this market two or three days a week down around Pacific and Ocean, and the people from this area, and even as far as Arcadia and stuff, after they got the automobiles and everything, would bring their produce in, and there were some chicken ranches up there. And I can remember, and I don't know how old I was, but going up there one time with Dad and looking on the other side of the hill, must have been out toward the Douglas, and they were raising sheep. And I remember this great, big, enormous bunch of sheep, but I don't think that they were raised sheep. They must have been just sheep that they brought in to graze the land, you know, like they do. And then when you get on out farther, when you get out the area where Loretta was born and where she was raised out in there. Now, the Bixby Ranch, they raised beans, lima beans, from where Pacific Coast Highway is, out beyond the ranch, and out toward Los Alamitos, they raised sugar beets. But after they would thresh the beans, And there was a lot of beans on the ground, and then Marty would take us kids, and everybody in this end of town would go out there and pick up gunny sacks full of beans. We'd have enough lima beans to last us all winter. I don't remember doing that. But even in the 30s, doing that.
If you grew up around here, but even when you were a kid, you didn't get around to the other side of Signal Hill, or?
When I was going to Temple Avenue School, we used to, three or four of us boys, had traps, and we used to trap squirrels, ground squirrels. And we'd go up on Reservoir Hill, and we'd slide down the other side on a piece of board or an old tub or something, and we would go out to where the water plant is, east of Lakewood Boulevard. We would go out that far, and we made a circle. And we had maybe 8 or 9 traps out, and we'd go out every other night and check them, see if we had any squirrels.
Can you eat those things, or
what
did you do?
We did, sure. In those days, we didn't know any better. There wasn't anything, nobody ever died that way off them. And we'd catch them, and we'd get the folks to fix them for us, we'd eat them. But there was no roads out there. There was just some dirt roads to the waterworks out there. And But Lakewood Boulevard and then those streets were in existence.
Yeah, the tanks were on Reservoir Hill?
There were three, I believe. Originally there were three, and over the years they kept adding. And the tanks they have up there now are much larger than the original ones. But they pump the water from over their own cisterns between Lakewood and Los Ferris, up on the hill, yes. The tanks were there as long as I can remember.
Yeah. If you could eat ground squirrels, didn't you ever go fishing or anything like that?
Yes, I out where Delphi Boulevard is now, between Anaheim Street and what's that first street behind the college?
Atherton?
Atherton. There's a drainage ditch that goes through there now. Well, that was a creek.
Yeah.
And it was grown up with willows. And I kept a rowboat there. And we could row from there, pull down to Alameda's Bay. And back around the Bixby Ranch and the Brown. That was a running creek. And it was full of willows and trees and stuff. And you could take the boat and get around in Downey's Bay.
Could you ever catch fish in there, or did you try?
We caught fish in Downey's Bay. I don't remember catching any fish in there, but Downey's Bay was more of a slough-like, and there were small fish in there. See, the Marine Stadium was not there.
Yeah.
And the Marine Stadium was dredged when they made Belmont Shore. Before they filled in the shore, we used to float on rafts out there and spear fish and crabs or whatever was out there. And then when they started, when McGraw and Shank developed Belmont Shore, and they took the sand out of the Northern Marine Stadium to fill up the shore, dredging company built a great big wooden building for their warehouse on Ocean Avenue on the north side, and that wooden building is still there. It's been worked over several times where it was a bar and a restaurant. That building is still there. That was, when that building was built was when Belmont Shore was built in.
Okay, we're kind of getting off the thing here. You went to Temple?
And then when they built Jefferson.
Yeah.
Temple was in existence. But when they built Jefferson, I went there the first year it opened.
Yeah.
And I went to Jefferson, and then I had to go to Polly in 26 because Wilson did not open till 27. And I went to Wilson and then graduated in 28. And then when they opened junior college, the city college, I went there. So I claim I've opened three schools in Long Beach my lifetime. Jefferson was the second, I believe, junior high. Edison was the first, and then Jefferson. And of course, Wilson was the second high school you had Polly. And
one of the things I should have asked you before, were you born at home?
I think so.
Were you delivered by
a
doctor, what's his name?
Chittin. No, I was not delivered by Dr. Chittin. I was delivered by a doctor, I believe his name was Newman, from downtown. But I was born at home. Now, I don't know why, but I remember them talking about the... and I don't know whether my sister and my brother were born at home or not.
What about community hospital? Do you remember when it
was? The community hospital was not in existence.
Yeah,
Seaside was in existence.
Yeah.
And that was over on West 14th. And I believe that was the only hospital in town when I was born.
But do you remember when community was built?
Bill Harris has a complete history of it. It was built in the 20s.
Yeah, it just seems like it might have made an impression on you since it's relatively close.
I've only been in there once.
That's enough.
And that was for just a couple hours to get some x-rays. I have never been in the community. The school, Wilson used to have their all of their commencement exercises or their parties at the Virginia Hotel.
Yeah.
That was the place in town. Everything was at the Virginia Hotel. I remember going there as a teenager to the affairs that they had.
What was it like in the Virginia Hotel?
Well, that was a real nice building. And it's too bad it fell down in the earthquake, but that was a real beautiful building. I had a friend that used to work down there as a kid. I never did. I had two aunts and a grandmother that lived on the northeast corner of Fourth and Ollie. There's a two-story wooden building there, and the building is still there. Four units. And as a kid, I used to go down there and stay with them weekends, and then I could go down to the beach. There was a bathhouse at the foot of Alameda's, where you go in and change your clothes and showers, and then there was a big bathhouse down on the pike where they had the indoor swimming pool as well as the outdoor swimming pool. And we used to go down there. The pike was in existence. My mother didn't believe in picture shows, but my aunts would let me go to, on Saturday I could go down for a nickel or a dime and go to the State or Hoyt's, which was on the pike. That was a musical comedy house. And the State Theater was the popular one.
What else could you do on the pike in those days?
Well, they had the same sort of things, but mostly the beach was the attraction for us. We weren't old enough to get involved in pitching the balls and all the stuff that they did on the pike, but we could go down the beach, go down to Alameda and walk the beach for over the west side. Well, there is no beach at all. The Silver Spray Pier was out there in the ocean on tiring, and you could walk under the Silver Spray Pier and keep it going on west, clear to the foot of the Nile Harbor. In fact, the Union Pacific Railroad came down California Street in those days, Alameda's, California, and then went down ocean through town and went across a bridge on the Terminal Island. And the Edison Company, the power plant is still over there.
Yeah.
And the only way the workmen could get to work was to go walk across this railroad bridge. And the harbor didn't amount to much in those days, but they did dredge it and develop it. At one time it was sealed up. At low tide you could walk across it. At one time.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they had to dredge it out so the
Craigs
could get the ships out.
Yeah, that's right.
I want you to talk more about how this part of town developed.
This part of town was just existed until they discovered oil in June 21st, 1921. And then all of a sudden, the oil derricks begin to sprout on the hill. There was a lot of little companies come in here, and they'd lease one or two lots, and they would put up an oil derrick. And then they would advertise in the paper, and they would sell stock for 10 cents a share. They would have them come down on the PE cars from Los Angeles, and they would pick them up here on the hill and give them hot dogs and soft drinks and some stuff in their oil well for dime a share. And there were, they'd have a tent, there were a number of those, and then the people began to come in. When I was born, the population of Long Beach was 17,000 and something. And when oil was discovered, within a few years, the population of Long Beach jumped to 55,000 real quick, and then from there on, it just kept going up. And people started to build out into this area because they were, most of them were working in the oil fields, and the area south of Anaheim, clear to the ocean, developed because in the early days, it was, there were more vacant lots than there were houses on. The houses were very, very scattered.
You said your father worked for some of these other companies?
Yes, he worked for some of the little ones getting leases. And, of course, that, I don't think, lasted over a couple of years. He owned 5 acres of land up on top of the hill and sold it 6 months before they discovered oil. My mother owned, and my aunts owned some land on St. Louis. South of 21st Street. They leased that ground and they put up the dirt, but they never did drill because they decided that they were south of the fault. And that was the south end of the field, and they never did get anything out of the oil. Although years later on this property that Dad had sold off over the years, and this is what before oil was discovered. He was evidently smart enough that he knew what he was doing because years up in the late 30s or early 40s when they started to drill some wells up across from the community hospital, and there was a group there that the city would not allow drilling south of 15th or 14th or whatever it was up there. And these people thought there was oil at 4th and Loma, where the fire station is. And they wanted to whipstock from there down to get the oil. And my mother called me up one day and wanted me to come up and said there was a couple men up there, and she didn't know what they were talking about. So I went up and they said, that they were putting leases together so they could get down there and put stuff as well. But the Pacific Electric Railroad owned the mineral rights under the railroad, and they had to get a lease with them. And it seemed like my mother, Dad's estate, owned the mineral rights on the south half of Anaheim Street from Loma to Terminal. And we leased them that so they could do it all well. But nothing ever came out of it.
Why did you know why your dad came to Zacharias? Or where did he come from?
He came from Illinois, and he was a teacher, and then he was an attorney. And he came out here in 1906, I believe, and in Los Angeles. And my mother came out here about that time, and she and one of her sisters lived in Los Angeles. And I don't know how that my dad and mother met or how that came about, but he came to Long Beach and he opened a real estate office down on First Street in 1908. And he wanted to practice law, but the state, even in those days, said that they would not accept Illinois. Then he had to go back to school for a year before they'd give him a license to practice law, and he didn't agree with that, so he went in the real estate business.
And came out to Zachary.
Well, then evidently, when he moved his office out here, he built this building, moved his office out here, 1910, probably the reason he came out here, I suppose, was this was mostly undeveloped. And the only thing was the railroad. You had the railroad tracks going from Los Angeles to Newport and Balboa, and you had the local line that took off and went down and Redondo. It came from Millerville, went down Redondo and down Broadway and up Olive and in 3rd Street in the Long Beach.
Yeah.
And this area started to develop. And then when they hit oil, this was an industrial area from 11th to 14th and from Temple to Loma. And you had the People's Ice Company, who had been in business for I don't know how many years at Broadway and Alameda's. They moved up here and built a plant at Freeman and Anaheim. And you had the Gold Medal Creamery go in down here at Ohio and Anaheim. And up on across the railroad tracks at Ohio and that's been about 15th Street, they had a big brick building there where they kept their horses for their milk trucks. And all of the milk was delivered with the horse wagon. And that was true at the earthquake, because at the earthquake, after the earthquake, when the earthquake happened, my brother and I had a service station at 10th and Newport. And the night of the earthquake, while the police department came, we had one hand pump. Well, there were the service stations that had an electric pump, so there was no electricity. And we had one pump there, it was a hand pump. And we just had the tank filled a day or two before, and we pumped 800 gallons of gas that night. Everybody in Belmont Shore panicked and they wanted to get out of town. Police kind of partner come up and wanted to know if one of us would help them with traffic control at 10th and Redondo if they couldn't control these crazy people. And they were coming out of Belmont Shore, curb to curb, just like a one-way street. And they didn't want them to go into town. They wanted us to send them out 10th Street and get them out of town. There were more sick relatives, mothers and aunts and everything on the other side of Redondo, and they tried to run over you. So there was five of us there. There were two policemen and three civilians, and the bakery, the Wholesome Bakery that was at the railroad track in Redondo, had collapsed out of a three-story brick building, and those ovens, it took them 3 days to cool off those brick ovens. And had the hose lines across the street was blocked, and they had their hose line, and these people just tried to run over you. They were going to go where they wanted to go, and that was it. The alleys south of Anaheim was a Japanese laundry, who my dad had owned the property and went it to the Japanese, and the thing caught fire, and I went up and to bed as soon as the earthquake. I'd gone home to eat, and mother was late at getting dinner ready, and I was setting the table, and I had all the cupboard doors in the kitchen open. And that
thing there. Wonderful.
So then I took off and went over to see if my brother was all right, and I said, well, I'll go check on Dad. So I went up where he lived, and I told him, I said, the laundry's on fire. And he says, what are they doing about it? And I says, right now they're trying to get the brick out in front of the fire engine so they get the fire engine out. The front of the fire station collapsed. It was a brick building. And there was 25, 30 men over there helping them dig it out. And they brought some fire engines in from Seal Beach and later on from Newport Beach. He says, there's nothing we can do. Take me downtown. I want to see what's going on. So we went down to Poly first, and there were some casualties down there. And then we went on downtown, and the time we got back, they saved the little wooden laundry. But they were 3 days there standing by on the bakery. But there really wasn't any of the buildings in here burned. We were just real fortunate.
But there was quite a bit of damage around here.
Oh yes, there was a lot of damage. A lot of the buildings. The bakery over there was a steel frame building. But when the beams went to the outside walls, there were no steel beams in the walls. The beams rested on the brick. And when the bricks all collapsed, it left the building, the center of it was all there, but the outside, all the beams fell on the three sides. It was in a triangle. It was just a three-sided building. That keeps up.
Was this just a place that was hit hard by the earthquake, or was there
poor construction around here? Well, I don't think it was a matter of poor construction. Maybe the mortar that they used didn't have as much cement in it as it does today, but the buildings were built, a lot of the homes. The only damage to the homes were they slid off the foundation. See, they built a foundation and they put the mud sill on there, redwood sill on there, and they wouldn't fasten it to the foundation. Just set it on the foundation. When the earthquake came, these houses just slid. Now the house at Melville up there in 1925, it was bolted to the foundation. See, in 25,
yeah.
But in years beyond that they evidently didn't do that, and a lot of your brick buildings were damaged extensively. But they went in, and where there were beams went into the wall, they channeled out the brick and put a cement pillar in there, see, and worked a lot of buildings over that way. And some of the buildings they had to rebuild. Now, see, the Campanile after Wilson, that collapsed, and that was really the only damage that was done to Wilson was the Campanile.
Yeah. Okay, I think we have a hole in here. You graduated from high school in 1928.
Mm-hmm.
And now
then,
we're doing the earthquake, so I think we left.
Well, yeah, we better leave the hole in there. I went to junior college, and then I had an uncle had a big came out here in 1928, and went out down to Arizona and bought a section and half of land, and it was going to develop to raise cotton and alfalfa. And my mother wanted me to go down and work for him, which I did for 2 years. And the depression had hit. And I can remember we put alfalfa on the boxcars there. You get $6.40 a ton loaded on the boxcar for 10 alfalfa. And you couldn't make any money that way. And it was too hot. I'd done the irrigating, and it was one stretch when I was irrigating, one stretch of 5 weeks, one summer, where at midnight if the thermometer stand at 100, it'd be 115, 122 in the daytime. I stuck it out a couple of years, and then I came back here.
Well, was it in Arizona?
It was at a little place called Laurel, which is 65 miles east of Yuma, on the Gila River. We got the water from the Gila River Irrigation District. And their water finally got salty, and they finally lost all their farmland, and the government was going to build a canal in there in the 30s after the Depression and bring water in from the Colorado. And I was down there 15 years later and talked to some of the fellows that had branches there when I worked there. And they said, well, we hope to get the water next year. and took them about 18 or 20 years after they were supposed to get it. Now they are farming all of that again, but that land all, well, they sell the water just to fuel the crops until they got probably the water in there. So then when I come back, we didn't have there wasn't any such thing as jobs. My brother was driving Ford cars.